Let's continue in our talks from Colossians by reading Colossians 1, verses 15 through 17. In these verses, we have the beginning of one of the great passages in the Bible that exalts the Lord Jesus Christ as to the wonder of his person, the magnitude of his work, and the preeminence of his position. Colossians 1, verse 15. He, that is Christ, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. First of all, some background notes. Remember that one of the reasons why Paul was writing to the church at Colossae was because there was some false teaching circulating in that area. This false teaching was a mixture of Judaism and what later became known as Gnosticism. The bottom line of this false teaching was that it lowered the person and work of Christ. According to this false teaching, Christ was not fully God, and as a result, he was not fully supreme and not all-sufficient. Thus, the theme of Paul's letter to the Colossians is the supremacy of Christ and the all-sufficiency of Christ. In this letter, any false teaching concerning the person and work of Christ is refuted, whether it was false teaching by the Gnostic Judaizers of the first century AD or the false teaching by the cults today. After Paul's prayer for the Colossian believers that we looked at in verses 9 through 14 of this chapter, Paul begins one of the greatest Christological passages in all of the Bible. As we said, it just magnifies the work of the Lord and the preeminence of his position and the wonder of his person like, you might say, like no other passage in the Bible. It goes from verse 15 through verse 22 and exalts Christ in every verse. Now, we've read verses 15 through 17 tonight. What do these verses teach us about Christ? We're going to look at three doctrinal points from these verses. One, the Lord Jesus Christ is the firstborn over everything. Two, the Lord Jesus Christ is the creator of everything. And three, the Lord Jesus Christ is the sustainer of everything. Doctrinal point number one, the Lord Jesus Christ is the firstborn over everything. In verse 15, we read that he, that is Christ, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Now, what does that term firstborn mean? Does it mean that Christ is less than God because he was born and therefore he's merely a creature? That's what the Jehovah's Witnesses teach. No, the term firstborn here does not mean born first in time, but rather firstborn in position. He's preeminent. He's the head over all creation. Now let's look at four subpoints from this passage, which emphasize that the word firstborn as used here does not mean born first in time, but rather firstborn in position. Subpoint number one, or little a. The whole argument of the passage, indeed of the whole book, is to show that Christ is supreme over everything because he is fully God. If firstborn means born first in time and thus only a lofty creature, well, then the whole argument breaks down. And especially since it follows the phrase, he is the image of the invisible God. This phrase is emphasizing the fact that Jesus is fully God, not a creature born in time. The idea in that word image is not the idea of idol, but exact and perfect representation, not just an emanation from God, as the Gnostic teachers were saying. And it certainly means more than likeness. Sometimes we use the expression in reference to a son compared to his father. He's the spitting image of his father. What do we mean by that expression? We mean that there's more than just a likeness between the Son and His Father. We can see the Father in the Son. Same mannerisms, same personality, like Father, like Son. What is God like? Look at Christ. He is the expressed image of God because He is God. Subpoint number two, or little b. If God wanted to convey the idea that Jesus was first born in the sense of created first in time, there is another Greek word which could have been used. There is a Greek word meaning first created. But the Holy Spirit who inspired this text did not use that word. He did not use first created, but firstborn. Subpoint number three, or little c. The verbs used in verses 15 and 17 are in the present tense. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. And verse 17, and He is before all things. If the idea was born first in time, then a past tense most likely would have been used. Now, certainly the idea of priority in time, as well as priority in rank, is involved in the phrase firstborn, as well as the phrase in verse 17, He is before all things. But the fact that the present tense is used in both cases emphasizes the timelessness of deity. Remember, the Lord Jesus said in John 8:58, "Before Abraham was, I am." Subpoint number four, or little d. The end of verse 18 is a summary statement that in all things He may have the preeminence or first place. That is, the Lord Jesus is head over creation and head over the church. You see what we read at the beginning of verse 18? And He is the head of the body, the church. Some translations even put it, and He is also, it could be translated that way, He is also head of the body, the church. And then at the end of verse 18, you have the summary statement that in all things He might have the preeminence or first place. In other words, the argument is He's head over creation or preeminent over creation, and He's also head or preeminent over the church. In other words, the word firstborn does not convey the idea of born first in time in this context, but rather firstborn in position. The Lord Jesus Christ is firstborn, preeminent over everything. Doctrinal point number two. The Lord Jesus Christ is the creator of everything. Look at verse 16. For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions, or principalities or powers. All things were created through Him and for Him. How can the Bible say that Christ created all things when it also says that God created all things? Well, the simple and obvious answer is because Jesus Christ is fully God. God the Father is the ultimate source of all creation, but God the Son is the active agent of all creation. As Hebrews 1 verse 2 says, through whom He made the worlds, that is, through whom, that is the Son. He, the Father, made the worlds. And of course, we also have John 1, the first few verses of John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, speaking of Christ, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him. And without Him, nothing was made that was made. Everything in the universe was created by Christ. Quasars and quarks, radio stars down to subatomic particles, everything created by Christ. The universe did not come from nothing. The universe did not create itself. And the universe is not eternal. It was created. Everything visible and invisible was created by Christ, including the angelic hosts referred to here as thrones and dominions and principalities and powers. The lower spirit beings were not created by the higher spirit beings, as the Gnostics taught. Everything was created by Christ. The evil angels are included here as well. Not that they were created evil. They became evil with the fall of Satan. They were created good, but they became evil with the fall of Satan. But originally, all things were created good and for the glory of God. Notice verse 16 again. All things were created through him and for him. Doctrinal point number 3. The Lord Jesus Christ is the sustainer of everything. Verse 17. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist or hold together. What's behind the forces that hold the atoms together, the nuclear forces? What's behind the universal law of gravitation? Why does the universal law of gravitation work? You know what the universal law of gravitation is, right? Any two bodies in space are attracted by a force which is proportional to their mass and inversely proportional to the square of the distance between them. Why does that law work? It actually gets down to the fact that Christ is the sustainer of this universe. It's because of the power of the living Christ, the eternal Son of God. He is the preserver and conserver of all. He is not only the creator of all things, he is the sustainer of all things. He is before all things, and in him all things consist or hold together. Practical application. Let's put our practical application in a question form. Are we fulfilling the purpose for which we were created? Are we fulfilling the purpose for which we were created? Look at verse 16, the end of verse 16 once again. All things were created through him and for him. That includes you and me. We did not come into existence by chance. We did not come through evolution. We came through creation. Therefore, we are responsible before our Creator. We answer to our Maker. Well, what is our responsibility to our Creator and Maker? We were created by Him and for Him. That is, to bring Him glory. Are we fulfilling the purpose for which we were created? Do we bring Christ glory in how we use our time and energies? Do we bring Christ glory in our thought lives? We exist for Him. Are we fulfilling the purpose for which we were created? All things were created through Him and for Him. And that includes you and me. Are we fulfilling the purpose for which we were created?